We're continuing our parsha. We had learned about Yehuda and the twins, and Yehuda remains married to Tamar, this pious woman, and Yosef is taken down to Egypt. He is purchased by Potiphar. Why is he purchased by Potiphar? So one understanding is that Potiphar purchased him to be his concubine. Potiphar purchased him because he wanted to sleep with him. And God sent Gabriel, and Potiphar was castrated. He became a eunuch. Another understanding is that Potiphar was a eunuch from way back when, and he was entrusted with the daughter of Dinah. When we learned last week that when Dinah came back, she was pregnant from Shechem, and then Yaakov didn't want to leave the baby girl around because the brothers were very zealous and very upset at a child of Shechem's living in their house. And so Yaakov took her, brought her down to Egypt, entrusted her by Potiphar, a eunuch, who and his wife. They were looking to adopt a child, and they were pious, as we are going to see. Potiphar and his wife were exceptional people. And when they adopt this girl named Osnas, Yaakov leaves her with a locket, and inside the locket is a note telling her, "You are the granddaughter of Yaakov." And Osnas grows up in Potiphar's home. Potiphar's wife is like her mother. Potiphar and his wife are like her parents. And we're going to see that they do a phenomenal job bringing her up. She is quite possibly one of the greatest women in world history and in Jewish history, although we seemingly hear nothing about her, but we are going to see that she is quite a woman of valor. Yes?
Are there such different opinions about Potiphar? One is a homosexual sodomist, and one is the pious person who...
Well, let's go easy. The fact that he's... if the norm in Egypt was that men were sleeping with men... You have Manoach, where one opinion puts him a shofet, part of Jewish tradition, and another opinion says he's Namarotz who doesn't know how to read a pasuk in Chumash. You know, we do have sometimes in Tanakh where we're not sure. We have different traditions as to how to read the person. At any rate, Potiphar is chief executioner for Pharaoh, and he purchases Yosef, and Yosef is very successful, and Potiphar sees that whatever Yosef does succeeds. So he entrusts him with all the keys of the house. And Chazal say this was a major mistake, never do this. We learned the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, don't have a man butler around your house too much. Look at what happened with Yosef. He's a huge tzaddik. He's not even willing to look at Potiphar's wife. And look at what happens. Potiphar's wife is seduced by him. Yes.
I want to go back to Osnas. I thought she was Dina.
No.
Who was Dina then?
Dina was Yaakov's daughter. Osnas was Dina's daughter from Shechem. Osnas was Yaakov's granddaughter.
So Dina didn't do anything? Nothing was written on the letter?
Dina remained in Shimon's home. It's unclear whether what happened with her. One tradition has it that she remained unwed and was buried right next to Shimon. There's a tradition exactly where she's buried here in Israel, but she had a very morbid ending, right? What? Nothing. Remaining single the rest of her life? Not building a family?
Did you say also that she married this brother?
There is one understanding like that in Chazal, right? Back to our parsha. So, as he appoints Yosef in his home, everything prospers. And the more he entrusts by Yosef, the more things prosper. Until Yosef's in charge of everything except for Potiphar's wife. And Yosef is succeeding, and he starts taking care of his looks. So Hashem sends him trouble. And Potiphar's wife is very, very attracted to Yosef. Here he is, a young man in her home, and he is exceptionally good looking, he's exceptionally strong, exceptionally wise. Her husband's a eunuch, and she, in her stargazing, sees that the Mashiach is supposed to come from her and Yosef. So she comes to Yosef and says, "Look at this! For God's sake, we're supposed to do this." And Yosef won't even look at her. So she comes to Potiphar and says, the servant you brought me won't respect me. He says, what do you want from him? So she says, I want you to tie a knife under his chin so he has to look up and look at me when I'm talking to him. So Potiphar listens. And Yosef closes his eyes. And she says, I'm going to gorge your eyes out. And he says, well, Hashem pokeach ivrim. Hashem gives sight. She says, I'm going to tie you in bondage. I'm going to incarcerate you. He says, Hashem matir asurim. Hashem is the one that frees people from bondage. Everything she says, he says, there's a ruler in the world and he controls the world. I'm not doing what you want. And every time she tries, he refuses. And she once brings her friends over and says, you know, I keep talking about this male servant, Yosef. You guys think I'm crazy, right? She gives them all citrons, estrogim, to peel. They're sitting there with knives. And as they're peeling the estrogim, she brings Yosef into their room. And their jaws drop and they all start cutting their hands as they're cutting the estrogim. So she says, you see, I'm not crazy. He is exceptional. And she has already decided that for spiritual reasons, they have to be together. And you will notice that very often in life, when we're attracted to what's wrong, we have good spiritual reasons for doing what's wrong. So she tells him, look, I've seen it. The Mashiach is supposed to come from us too. She's right. The Mashiach is supposed to come from her adopted daughter and Yosef. We have a rule, the Talmud tells us in Sanhedrin, a person who raises someone, it's as though they bore him. Chassam Sofer writes in response to that, we'll even write a contract that way. When we write a person's name, we'll write the son of, and we'll write the adoptive parent, as though he is the parent, because when someone brings someone up, it's as though they gave birth to them. That's what you find even in Tanakh. That sometimes the Tanakh calls someone a parent when our tradition has it that they were not their parent. Look at Serach Bas Asher. She wasn't Asher's daughter. She was his adopted daughter. He married a woman that had a daughter named Serach. He brought her up. But she wasn't his real daughter, and yet the Torah calls her Serach Bas Asher. Everyone knows her as the daughter of Asher. He wasn't her biological father. So who brought up Asnas from the time she was a baby? This woman, Potiphar's wife. And so what she saw in her stargazing, that from me will come the Mashiach, she's right. Her daughter, her adoptive daughter, which is considered her daughter, is going to marry Yosef, and from them will come the Mashiach. So that's, but that doesn't condone going as a married woman with Yosef. So okay, one at a time. Yes?
Okay, two part questions. A, at this time of the incident of Yosef and Potiphar's wife, was he already married to Asnat?
No. That happens later after he's appointed king.
Part B, and more importantly, if you said that according to the stargazing, and then the stargazing was right, is that the Mashiach comes from Yosef, whereas I thought that we have a tradition that Mashiach comes from David, who comes from Yehuda.
There's Mashiach ben David and there's Mashiach ben Yosef. There are two Mashiachs. There are going to be two. One will get killed, and that's Mashiach ben Yosef.
What is Mashiach ben Yosef?
I don't know.
So you just know that there's going to be one?
Or right.
There is one. Or like that such a concept exists, but we have no indication.
I don't know. Other people say they know. I don't know.
But we have qualifications for Mashiach ben David, meaning like he will gather the exiles and fight the wars of God,
right,
build the temple. Do we have any set qualifications for Mashiach ben Yosef? Even if we don't know, you know, when or who or whatever, but do we have qualifications for him? So
I don't know. Meaning, there has been much written about what Mashiach ben Yosef's job is going to be. In the Midrashim we have, and then in Responsa we have. There's up until our century, things have been written about it, but I don't know. I don't know. Yeah?
I thought the Mashiach we're talking, is it Moshe or the Mashiach to come?
No, Mashiach to come. It says there are going to be two Mashiachs. One, his job is in the physical realm, and his job is Mashiach ben Yosef. He's supposed to fight certain wars. And then ultimately, Mashiach ben David is supposed to lead to the spiritual rebuilding. Right. So the first opinion I know of potential for Mashiach was King Saul. And that would seem to indicate that Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't necessarily have to be a descendant of Yosef. It has to be a descendant of Rachel. It would seem to be that we call it Mashiach ben Yosef, but it seems that it's an idea, and not necessarily a descendant of Yosef.
Moshe is from Levi, right?
Right.
It's not from Yehuda.
Correct. That's what I said, not Mashiach, right? Right? Yeah.
They said that Yosef began to take care of his looks and some sent in trouble. What does that mean, they started to take care of his looks?
It means to a certain degree, he gave it too much weight. He was too careful about it. On some level, every person has to take care that they look clean, that they look respectable, etc. But on another level, there's a limit, and he went beyond the limit. On his level, realized, Yosef is a tzaddik that whatever he's doing, he's davening to Hashem. Whatever he's doing, Hashem is with him. This idea that kol ashehu oseh Hashem atzlech biyado, whatever he did, Hashem made him succeed. So the Medrash says, he would approach a task and daven as he's doing it. Rabbon Shalom, help me succeed in this. See, he's a person who shiviti Hashem denigti tamid is a pivotal mark by him. And here, there are two phenomenal concepts. Number one is the faithfulness of Yosef. At first glance, he stands nothing to gain from this. He doesn't know if his father was in on the plot or not. What does he know? He was sent out. The brothers turn on him, strip him, send him for sodomy, sell him to sodomy down to Egypt. And now he's a slave with zero hope. So where should Yosef put himself now? Yosef should say, forget this religion. Forget this. What did I get for it? Nothing. I'm sold here for sodomy down here into Egypt. It's as bad as can be. My own brothers turned against me. If this is what Judaism has to offer, forget it. I'm out. What does Yosef do? The exact opposite. Yosef is faithful to his master. Yosef is faithful to Hashem. Yosef prays before every step he takes in his serving of his master. And Yosef sees that whatever he does, chol asher hu oseh, whatever he does, Hashem atzeich biyado, Hashem makes it successful. So that's a phenomenal tzidkut. When we say Yosef atzadik, he didn't see how he was ever getting out of this. Life wasn't looking good for Yosef. He didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then, as we'll see in a minute, when he stands up to the test, and he's trying to be seduced, and he runs away, so they take him to court, and they say, you liar, you filthy Jew, look at what you did, and he gets incarcerated. So look at what he did. You know, he did a good thing, he did what was right, and what does he get for it? Boom, gets thrown into jail. So again, if Yosef were to approach it with a simple approach, he'd say, forget it, I'm out. God, I did what I could. Even down here, I did what I could. Look, I lived up to your mitzvahs. Where'd it get me? Into prison. What am I doing this for? But that's not the question, what am I doing this for? If we live this world and we expect, I'm going to do what's right, and God, you're going to make it all work right for me. No, there's no such promise. God says you're going to do what's right, and you're going to have the best possible situation you could have, given many, many factors. And that might be, like Yosef, being a slave. And that might be being in prison. And no one says, do what's right, and the world will be pink and beautiful, and you'll get everything you want. The exact opposite. Look at our parsha. He does what's right. Where does it get him? With a stinky prison, he doesn't see the light of day. And he continues. So when we say Yosef HaTzadik, there's a reason why he gets that title. No one else put up with what he put up. So Yosef is being seduced by his master's wife. And he refuses. And he even explains to her, you know, this isn't right. This isn't moral. You know, he's given me everything except for you. You're his wife. How could I do such an evil thing? It's a sin before God. So he explains to her on two levels. It's immoral, it's unethical, and it's also a sin. And she continues, day after day after day. And he doesn't listen. And then the day comes. Everyone went out to worship the Nile rising. And no one's at home. And she's been plotting, and finally she says, I don't feel well. She's home alone. Yosef isn't a pagan. He's a Hebrew. He doesn't go out to worship the Nile. And he comes home. Why is he coming home? Two opinions among our sages. One opinion, he was an accountant. He had to come home and do the accounting to sit down and go over the figures. The other opinion, he came home And he was thinking the same thing she was thinking. He comes home. And it says, La'asot milachto, he came home to do his work. Two opinions what that means. He was coming to do accounting, or he was coming to do his work. And no one's home. No man's home. And she grabs him by his garment and says, come lie with me. So, first thing we have to know is that very often we like to deceive ourselves. We'll just touch. We'll just lie down together. Nothing more is going to happen between us. Yosef refuses. He refuses to come and lie with her. And he knows where it's going to lead. And Chazal tell us that Yosef had a moment of weakness. Chazal say, the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, Vatashov be'etan kashto. So there's a very clean language that even though his bow was taut, that's the Lashon of the Pasuk. Vatashov be'etan kashto. With great strength, he didn't shoot. That's the Lashon. Vatashov be'etan kashto. Vayafozu zeroe yadav. He spread out his fingers according to our tradition, according to the Medrash. There were 10 drops of seed that came out, according to the Medrash, out of his fingers, whatever that means. Doesn't literally mean that, it would seem. But it means that he wasn't intimate with her. But he did. He was in a bad situation at that moment. He was also ready to do what was wrong. And Chazal say, he saw a vision. He saw his father. And he looked at the window and saw his father. What does that mean? So someone suggested, I don't know what the source for it is, someone suggested, it says that Yosef looked like Yaakov. So here he was growing older, and he looked and he saw his own reflection, and suddenly he saw his father. He said, wait a second. Suddenly my dad's here, right? Imagine father's looking over your shoulder for a second. At that moment, that's not the picture you want to see. That's why people sometimes have on their screensaver. They have a picture of their Rebbe or a big Rebbe who they respect. So, and they put the screensaver to come up every so often. How can I do that in front of him? So, we're going to pause here and pick up here in a few minutes.